Joshua chapter 1. I guess before I get into this passage, I know it's tough for you guys. You got to listen to two sermons in a row, and this one's going to be really long. So, I'll try to keep it short. But I would like to extend, I feel like that's really loud. If I get yelling, this is really going to, better turn it down. Okay. I'd like to extend an invitation to, I guess, anyone and everyone that would maybe like to accept. Amy and I, we're actually based in Dubuque, Iowa now, and we make a lot of trips to a lot of different places, and the Lord's opened up doors for us to be able to preach His Word, encourage His people all over the place, and we still do about three or four trips to Peru a year, and we're hoping to go back to Peru at some point. The Lord has really made it clear He wants us to be in the United States at least for a while to encourage His people, churches and young people in the areas of evangelism, discipleship, church planting, and mission. And there's such a need. Assemblies are dying in the United States, in North America, and something needs to be done. I think across the evangelical board, different denominations and things, the level of spirituality is probably at an all-time low, and also we definitely live in the most distracted generation ever. Everyone has a cell phone. We're online. We're checking Facebook. We're checking the scores. I feel this. I am more distracted than ever. It is so easy to get sucked in by this Disneyland of the United States of America. It is easy to be a missionary in the jungles of Peru, and you come here, and it's just everything just pulls at you in every different direction to be distracted from the main thing. And so really, the Lord has brought Amy and I back to the States at least for a while to try to do something to encourage His people and challenge His people in these areas of evangelism, discipleship, church planting, and missions. And this is so important. We live, the end of the ages has come upon us. We live in exciting times. The Lord's return is imminent. And I'm not putting dates or anything like that. It might be 100 years more till He returns, maybe more. But just the way the things are going, we are close. We are close. And I want to live a life not wasted, a life trying to make Christ's name great wherever I go, to preach His Word, to preach the gospel, to encourage His people, challenge His people. And so the Lord's opened up doors to do that in the last few years here. And I wasn't going to say any of that, I'm sorry. That was all to say. We still take a couple of trips a year to Peru, hoping to go back full-time at some point. But we take trips back to Peru taking teams. And really the point of taking the teams is just to expose young people to a foreign mission field. You're in a mission field right here in the United States of America. I mean, the nations have come here. The nations have come to this country. This is the perfect place to do cross-cultural missions in the United States of America. But really to get out sometimes and go to another country and see the reality, we have brothers and sisters in different contexts living in extreme poverty or facing different kinds of giants than the ones that we're facing. It's really eye-opening and kind of life-shaking. I guess, the thing that kind of pushed us over the edge to go on the mission field some 23 years ago. Amy and I went on a short-term trip to Peru and saw the need there, and the Lord really opened up our eyes, and we saw what the missionaries were doing and the help that they needed. And so that's kind of our goal in trying to put together some missions trips. And so our first one's going to be in January. Later we're going to do one in May, another one in next September, possibly another one in 2020. possibly another one in November. But if anyone is interested in signing up for something like that, it will be an unforgettable experience. If you need to lose weight, everybody that goes on one of these trips with me always loses weight. Hey, you're here. Hi, Leslie's here. You live in Houston. No, I know. You said you were going to be here. I just lost my whole train of thought. Weight loss program, missions trip. When we were in Peru, in the jungles of Peru, and were able to plant churches in different villages along the Huayllaga River and a couple of the tributaries to that river, which is a tributary to the Amazon, but get to go back and visit some of those villages, and a lot of times you have opportunity to eat wild boar brains and monkey meat, and we have these big maggots, white maggots called suri. You have those? Big fat chatakura? Okay, a different name in Ecuador. You'll have an opportunity to eat all kinds of strange and interesting foods, and everyone that goes always ends up losing weight. And last trip, we had people that were urinating blood and had to take three of them to emergency. So anyway, that's an encouragement to sign up for the trip. It will be an unforgettable experience. It will be absolutely awesome. So sign up. Talk to me afterwards. Okay, I'm going on. I'm sorry I said those things. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I'm reading from the ESV. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray real quick. Lord God, we thank you for that promise that you are with us wherever we go. I guess this promise being to the Israelites, but then we see this in the New Testament at the Great Commission. You're with us to the end of the age. Lord, we want to grab a hold of that promise. We want to ask that you would do great things in our generation, in this day and age, in the year 2019. Pray that you would raise up an army of evangelists, disciple makers, church planters and missionaries, garbage men that would preach the gospel, painters that would make Christ's name great, plumbers that would have eternity stamped on their eyeballs. Lord, we just pray that you would give us an eternal perspective. Whatever gift and ability you've given each one, we pray that you would use us. Put this time into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Several things that I want to point out here. I don't know how we're going to get through this quickly, but I'll try. Number one, look at verses 1 and 2 once again, and this is the point that I want to bring out. Well, first of all, Joshua and Israel, and here you've got this new generation. The older generation has all died off in the wilderness. They've come out of Egypt some 40 years before. They're wandering around in the wilderness, and that whole generation dies off, and then you've got Joshua and Caleb and that generation under them, and they're gonna go into the promised land. And I'm sure that Joshua and probably the rest of that generation, are probably a little bit nervous, thinking about the different dangers that they're facing. A brand new generation, they're going into the promised land, and the responsibility and opportunity, the excitement, but also the dangers that they must have been facing. And the first one that I want to point out in these first two verses is the danger of looking back. This one specifically for Joshua, thinking about the danger of looking back. And this is the point that I want to make after reading the verses one more time. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel." So God here is speaking. God is the one speaking, and he's speaking directly to Joshua. And he says, listen, Moses, my servant, he's dead. Now, therefore, you arise. It's time for you to lead a new generation into the promised land. Joshua must have been nervous about this. I mean, he's following Moses around for 40 years in the wilderness. And Moses, he was the man. This guy, he turned the water in Egypt to blood. All those miracles, remember the frogs that he brought up on the land and the locust plague that came upon the land, and then thick darkness everywhere. The death of the firstborn also. Later, as they're going out, he splits the Red Sea and they walk across on dry land. Moses was awesome. Obviously, God was doing these miracles through Moses, but Moses was his man that was leading Israel. And can you imagine being in Joshua's sandals and trying to kind of follow this guy? And now it's like he's passed the baton on to you. Now it's your turn. I would be afraid to death. When we arrived in Peru, Bert Elliott was the missionary there who had been there for 64 years. Actually, at that point, it wasn't 64 years, but in total, before he ended up graduating onto heaven, he and his wife were missionaries in Peru for 64 years, and the Lord used them to plant something like 150 assemblies in the jungle, in the mountains, on the coast. And Bert, he was the man. I mean, the Lord used him in amazing ways. And there are all these legends and stories as you follow kind of in his footsteps and where he left churches and where he preached the gospel and all these legends that I'm sure some of them have been inflated. But the bottom line is, Bert was, he was a man of God. And God used him mightily. And we arrive in Peru and I'm 23 years old and I'm like, I can't be like that. I'm not like Bert. You think of Moses in this story. I mean, there's actually the story where he goes and he meets with the Lord in this tent of meeting that's put outside the camp. And every time he comes away, he meets with the Lord and the pillar of fire comes down. And this man speaks to God as if speaking to a friend face to face. And he walked away from his personal devotional time in the morning. He actually walked away glowing. I don't walk away from my personal devotion times glowing. I don't think. Nobody's told me. I haven't noticed it. I kind of every once in a while I walk away and I look and no glow today. But Moses was awesome. And here Joshua is supposed to take his place. And God just tells Joshua, look, Moses is dead. You therefore arise. You're going to take this people into the promised land. This is a message for today, for our generation. It is really easy, young people, for us to just look at a past generation and great things that were done. Christian missions in many lands and missionaries that have gone out from assemblies and then outside of assemblies, other great organizations sending out great missionaries. And you read the history of missions and great things that were done. As men and women went out and preached the gospel and made disciples and planted churches, made Christ's name great all over the planet. And you read about some of those stories, it's like they were on another level. Or the Lord did great things through them, and it kind of feels like I can't do that. But God just tells Joshua right here, listen, that past generation, they did great things, yeah, but they're dead. Now, therefore, you arise. We need a younger generation, some Joshuas, some Calebs, some young people that stand up and say, I'll take that baton from the older generation. I'm going to take that torch. I'm going to take the flag of Zion and I'm going to wave it across the land. And so Joshua and this new generation, they must have been facing this danger of just kind of looking back at Moses. Looking back at a past generation and feeling like, I can't do that. And just throw in the towel before I even get started. And God, right from the beginning, is kind of heading off this danger. Moses is dead. You therefore arise. Where is the younger generation? My generation. What is going on? It's time to awake. It's time to arise. The end of the ages has come upon us. What are we doing? Another danger that I think God seems to be heading off here for Joshua is found in the next couple of verses, verses 3 and 4. The danger of turning back. The first one is just the danger of looking back, kind of looking at the old timers and what they did. They did amazing things and thinking, I'm not like that, I can't do that. And then the next one in verses 3 and 4, look at this, the danger of turning back. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. And I see God talking to Joshua here, and he's just encouraging him. Listen, don't turn back. All of this land in front of you, everything that I promised to Moses, you're going to lead the people in to inherit these promises, to inherit this land. And he even mentions there at the end where the Hittites live. To the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So imagine Joshua up on this mountain and he's looking down in the land and God's describing it all to him from way over there to way over here. The Hittites are out there. And imagine Joshua, he's probably already thinking to himself, the Hittites, those are really scary dudes. There's actually 31 kings in this Canaan land, the promised land, 31 kings, they're stockpiling nukes and preparing to destroy the Israelites. They've all heard Israel's coming in and they're getting ready for the battle here. And God is just kind of encouraging Joshua, listen, don't turn back. You're going to lead the people into the land. This is a huge job ahead of them. It would have been really easy to just kind of think, that is a whole lot of territory. There is a lot of work to do. There are a lot of scary giants out there. Think of the generation today in which we live. We are facing, I think, bigger giants and more giants than any other generation has ever faced. The giant of pornography is destroying an entire generation. It's destroying our world. Almost everyone's an addict. I get to speak at youth conferences. I just, afterwards, lines of young people coming up and talking about this giant that they're facing. They just can't beat it. Facing the giant of radical Islam. We're facing the giant of abortion. Dan already mentioned the blood of millions of infants runs across this nation like a river. The giant of the homosexual agenda that's being pushed on us from all sides. The giant of racism that's all of a sudden kind of like resurrected from the dead. All these giants that we're facing, giants that are bigger and there are more of them than we've ever faced before. And this is like this new generation of Israel here. They're facing giants in the land. And it's scary and it's hard. But listen, this is interesting. This generation of Israelites, they're standing at almost the exact same spot that a previous generation was standing 40 years before. 40 years before, Israel stands at the banks of the Jordan River, and they're looking in, and they're kind of like, there's a lot of giants over there, and there's a lot of work to do. That's a lot of territory. How about we put together a missions committee, and we send 12 spies in first? God didn't tell them to do that. But they send in this missions committee, and they come back with this bad report. 10 were bad, 2 were good. And they came back and they're like, no, we can't do it. And they ended up wasting their lives. 40 years wandering around in circles doing nothing. Wasting their lives and dying in the wilderness. Will another generation waste their lives? Will this generation just wander around for 40 years until you all die and we waste our time here on this planet? Is that what's going to happen again? We need a wake-up call. We're facing these dangers, the same kind of dangers that Joshua and this new generation are facing. This danger of looking back at Moses, I can't do what he did. Or this danger of just turning back, throwing in the towel. There's too many giants out there. This is scary. Go out and preach the gospel and make disciples and plant churches in this kind of a culture? In the climate in which we live here in North America? Impossible. But God, he's just encouraging Joshua right here. He's like, every single place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I've given to you. Go! Go! When we arrived in the United States about 2 years ago, we arrived, we were planning going back to Peru, and the Lord made it clear that over the course of the first couple months that he needed us to stay, and we needed a car. We needed a van. We have 6 kids. We're just kind of getting started, a small family. And so we needed a van. And we bought this van, or Amy found this van online. We went to Queens, New York. We were staying at CMML. It's in New Jersey, about an hour and a half drive to Queens, New York, maybe a little bit less. But anyway, we go. Amy found this van. We tried it out. It was a great van. So we ended up, we bought this van. It was a used van, 10 years old, but it was new to us, and we're real proud of our purchase. It's this great van, and we're driving away, and I'm following Amy. Amy's in the rental car, and I'm following her in the and she's in the nice rental car, and I'm in our nice van, 12-person van, and we're going through Queens, New York at night. Now, I'm used to alligators and piranhas and wild boars and hiking through the jungle at night, but I'm not used to Queens, New York gangs, and we're kind of through this sketchy neighborhood. It's dark, and Amy, she's oblivious to the dangers of New York City. And she's following Google Maps. She pulls over on the side to like check her maps. She wanted to go to Chipotle. And so she's checking where Chipotle is. And she pulls over right in front of this gang that's on this street corner. And I'm like, what are you doing? And they were like, one of the guys flashed a gun. Another guy was like yelling at this other gang on the other side. I just thought about, I'm leaving Amy here. I'm just taking off in the van. But I did the brave, manly thing, and I pulled over behind her, and I was kind of watching, like, what's going to happen here? And she didn't even know what was going on. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there worried to death. The side doors to our van fly open, and this gangster jumps in our van. And I am like, all these things go through your mind in 1 second. I'm like, do I run? I'm throw it in park and I'm like running, or do I fight? I've never even been in a fight before, but I feel like I could punch pretty good. And I'm like, I start thinking, we just bought this van. This is our van. I'm not letting this guy steal my van. And so I just, it's a big van, so there's almost space to stand up. So I threw it in park, and I jumped in between the seats, and I pulled back my fist. I said, get out of my van! Get out of my van! And the guy just looked at me like big, huge eyes, and he looked like scared to death. And I guess it looked pretty scary. And he just like fell backwards out of the van. And I grabbed the the doors, and I slammed them shut. And then Amy at this time was going, and so I just took off and followed her. And she didn't even know I get to Chipotle until the gangster jumped in her van. And I scared him to death, and he ran away. But the main thing, what I want to say there, this is really the main point of the book of Joshua. It's the main point of what I want to emphasize tonight. Fight now. There are times when you need to fight, like when you need to defend your new van. Fight now, rest later. Fight now, rest later. We have all of eternity to rest. Now is time to fight. For Israel, right here in this passage, this is the time to fight. Fight now, rest later. We're facing giants in the land. Now is the time to fight. Another thing that I want to point out, in verses 5 and 6, this is the danger of not forgetting, or the danger of forgetting God's promises. Right here in these verses, God lists off several promises. Try to count them as I read. Several promises, and I think it's just kind of to try to encourage Joshua, remember the promises. You've got to remember the promises. Verses 5 and 6. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. For you shall cause his people to inherit the land. I count at least five promises in those two verses right there. There's this danger of forgetting the promises. Someone sent me an email the other day, and the title, subject title was 10,000 Promises of God in the Bible. There's so many promises to God's people. Need to grab a hold of those promises. A lot of times we don't have explanations for everything. Yes, we need to study, and we need to know our Bibles, and we need to have a reason for what we believe, why we believe it. But at the end of the day, we don't always have answers for everything. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord. There are certain things that he just hasn't revealed. I'll bring up a different difficult subject. The whole debate between Calvinism and Arminianism, or maybe predestination and man's free will. Which is true? I'm causing problems already. I'd say both. The Bible seems to really be, in passages, teaching both. God is sovereign. He's in control. He does predestine his own. But at the same time, man is completely responsible to respond to the gospel and respond to Jesus Christ's call. You're responsible. How do those two things work out? I don't know. I think there's certain doctrines you just need to maintain intention. I don't have an explanation. But I got a whole lot of promises that I can bank on. God is reminding Joshua here of just a couple of promises. Remember some of these promises. Grab a hold of those. I tore my ACL in my left leg playing basketball. And I was on my way to the NBA. I mean, I was going to be close, except I should be a foot taller. But I tore my ACL, and when I went into surgery, the doctor he repaired it. Afterwards, I came out, and he explained to me everything that he did and all these medical terms, and I did not understand anything that he said. And then he said, if you do the physical therapy and you do everything that I tell you here, in about 2 months, you'll be walking just fine. And I said, is that a promise? It's a promise. Give it to me. Grab a hold of the promises. Maybe you don't understand all of the theological issues and everything like that, but there are all kinds of promises. God is encouraging Joshua with some promises right here. Another thing, verses 7 to 8. Verses 7 to 8. Look at this. Only be strong and very courageous. being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How many of you want to have good success in life? About eight people. Oh, now there's more people. Yeah! It uses the word prosperous. How many would like to be prosperous? There's about 12 now. Yes, I am against the heretical teaching of the prosperity gospel today, if you're familiar with that. If you are walking with the Lord and you are not, there's no sin in your life, you're going to be healthy and rich. Just read the book of Job. Read 1st and 2nd Peter. Read your Bible. But in the big picture, God does prosper and give success to his people. In the big picture. Now, success and prosperity isn't always what the world might define it as. Whatever God sees as prosperity, whatever God sees as success, that's what I want. I want that prosperity. I want that success. And God is talking about some kind of prosperity and success right here. Whatever that is, I want it. And here's the key right here. You need to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Then you're going to have this good success. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth. Everywhere you go, you're meditating on it. You're saturating yourself with Bible, Bible, Bible. Read your Bible, young people. Saturate yourself with God's word. Memorize it. I think it's the Navigators who have this illustration where a hand is grabbing a hold of the Bible. And it's kind of the five fingers of how to grab a hold of the Bible. And if I can remember, one finger is you need to hear it. Another is you need to read it. You need to memorize it. You need to meditate on it. And you need to do it. The five fingers of grabbing a hold of God's word. Bible. And here, you obey it, you saturate yourself in this book of the law, it doesn't depart from your mouth, you're meditating on it day and night, you're careful to do it, you're going to be prosperous and successful, according to what God's prosperity and success is. Let me read you this statement here. An unknown author said this, and these are the words that are found on the first blank page, or I guess it's not blank since these words are on it, but the first page in the New Testament, the Gideon's New Testaments, kind of gives a definition of the Bible. Listen to this. This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored, heaven is opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, and our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to an empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for eternity. That's a good definition of the Bible. You go forward with that sword. You go forward grabbing a hold of this, God's word. And you go into battle, a new generation that stands up and claims the God who claimed them. Fight now! Rest later. Fight now. Rest later. Last thing here, and you don't have a clock. That's a good thing. Somebody told me clocks are the thing that are keeping us from revival. Just throw them away. Let me skip down to verses 12 and 13. Might read 14 also. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, "Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them.'" And shall help them. There's this danger of not helping your brothers. There's a danger of not helping your brothers. This is a major problem today. You've got to help your brothers. Maybe you've got some of your inheritance of Christ that you've already grabbed a hold of those promises, but you've got brothers and sisters out there that need help. Help them grab a hold of those promises. Help them get into the promised land. You've got to help your brothers. You know, the geography in the Old Testament, what a lesson. What a lesson in geography in the Old Testament. You've got this Egypt, and it's really a picture of land of slavery, a land of slavery to sin. And now God has brought you out of that land of slavery to sin, and he's brought you through the desert, where so many are just wandering around for all of their lifetime, but he's brought you to the banks of the Jordan River, the promised land. And I think some theologians will say that the promised land is a picture of heaven. I think it's a picture of abundant life in Christ. You've got to help your brothers. Get your brothers into that abundant life in Christ. Those promises that we should have. I want to give an illustration here to end. Let's say I'm just flipping through my Bible, and in Daniel, Daniel chapter 7 here, and I'm just going to rip this page out. Does that change my Bible at all? I think it does. I mean, If you're reading, and you're reading Daniel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. Something's missing. There's a page missing. Yeah, it doesn't look like it when you close my Bible. I mean, it looks the same. But as you're reading through, all of a sudden, there's a page missing. I actually ordered one time 100 Bibles that I was passing out in the jungle, and I found out all the Bibles were missing Mark chapter 7. One page. But it changes your Bible a little bit. Maybe it doesn't look like it, you know, but something is different. Something's changed. This is an illustration of when a brother or sister pulls him or herself out of the church, we affect each other. We need each other. You've got to help your brothers. These 2.5 tribes here, the tribe of the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, these three, they'd already gotten their possession on the other side of the Jordan when they conquered Sihon, king of Og, king of Bashan, Sihon, king of Heshbon. And they've got that land. They kind of looked around. This was back in the times of Moses. And they're like, "Hey, Moses, this is good pasture land. And we're ranchers. Can we have our inheritance on this side?" And Moses gives it to him, but he told him, "Listen, if I give this to you, you need to remember when everybody else goes across the Jordan to conquer over there, you've got to help your brothers. Don't go thinking, I already got my possession. I already got my promised land. Don't go thinking that you don't have to help your brothers." What a lesson for today. We need each other. We affect each other. You've got to help your brothers. If we're helping one another will be effective in fighting now so that we can rest later. Fight now, rest later. Fight now, rest later. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word and the encouragement and challenge that we find from the beginning to the end. Lord, I pray that you would raise up a new generation that would go forward sword in hand, fighting now, because now is war time. We are in a spiritual battle that rages all around us. How easily we forget. Lord, I pray that you would shake us into reality, that you would wake us up. Pray that you would do great things here at the end of the age. Pray that you would spark revival as we go forward with your word. Lord, we are tempted in many ways to look back, to turn back, to forget the promises, to not obey your word, to not help our brothers and sisters. Help us to overcome that temptation, Lord. Pray that you would give us an eternal perspective. Pray that you would do great things now in our generation. In Jesus' name, amen.